Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Jared Cassidy here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm well, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. So, PK, obviously the Titans back at it this week against the Bengals. Mike Vrabel discussing the Todd Downing situation yesterday. Made it pretty clear that Todd Downing is going to be the OC this week, and we'll see what happens with the NFL and the investigation and everything as they move forward. What do you make of this situation for the Titans and how they've chosen to handle it with Todd Downing operating business as usual this week?
Well, I mean, the league rule is on DUI that they see it through the legal process pretty much in terms of personal conduct policy, which is what this is. But, you know, I would have had no problem if the Titans, you know, who I believe work with Mothers Against Drug Driving or have in the past, you know, came out and said, hey, we're going to be proactive here. It's pretty clear what happened. And we're not going to sit back and wait on the league, which is incredibly convenient for us and would allow us to continue as if nothing happened and take action and go ahead and suspend him the way he'll be suspended when this thing is concluded, because the only thing that would get him off is some sort of technicality. They're not going to do that. I didn't expect that they'd do that, but it would have been refreshing, I think, if they had.
Yeah, I do a couple questions on that, Paul. One is, I do wonder if the circumstances, not to take any responsibility whatsoever off Todd Downing, but I do wonder if the circumstances in terms of who else was around him, who, what was going on in the plane, who, you know, talked to him before he left, whatever, may have something to do with that. In other words, that he's not the only person culpable. But I also wonder, moving forward, what does this mean in terms of his future, long-term future here, but I even beyond this, you know, around the league, how he's perceived. I mean, you know, just last week he got thrown out there as a possible head coach candidate. As you pointed out, it was maybe a little bit shaky at this point, but still, I mean, that's happened before. It could happen again if they have success and the offense has success. What do you think this means in that context?
Well, it's a stain on his resume for sure. Also, I can't remember whose list that is. Pelissero.
Yeah, I think so.
Nobody's hiring Todd Downing as a head coach after this year. He's directed the 32nd offense in the league for most of the year. I think they just pumped up to 30th. I mean, everybody, no matter how outside the box they want to be, it wants to win the press conference. And you can't win the press conference if you're introducing a guy who's directed the worst offense in the league for most of the year. So either somebody, an agent's pumping up Downing, or Downing has been nice to Pelissero or whatever. It's ridiculous for him to be on the meaty part of that list, and Shane Bowen not to be on the meaty part of that list, which includes over 100 people. Look, it's clear to me that list is, here are some viable candidates. Here are some viable candidates that sources, head coaching sources, want me to push. And here are some guys who've been really helpful to me that I'm going to push. And I say that about that list annually. I don't think if Mike Vrabel has any intention to move on from Todd Downing that this has much to do with it. He's a strong coach. He hasn't made moves. I don't expect he'll make a move here. But for people saying, oh, well, here's his, here's the kindling for the fire that he needed, I think that's kind of nonsensical.
Paul Kuharsky with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, PK, a breakout performance of sorts for Treylon Burks against Green Bay last week. What did you make of that? How encouraged should Titans fans be by what we saw? And could this be maybe a sign of things to come with Treylon Burks?
Yeah, I wrote yesterday, I mean, how often do we see a guy, you know, have a a good game and say, oh, that's the one that's going to get it started. The next week, I wrote probably a piece with six or seven guys. There's maybe one, Anthony Firkser, who, you know, took a good game and had a better game the next week. Titans habitually failed to significantly target that guy the next week and grow it. Not that I'm expecting, you know, that 111 yards is the bar for him next week, but I won't be surprised if they under-target him this week. You know, the chances are he regresses. They, for some reason, don't game plan the same way. You know, the lack of pressure on Tannehill that was such a key last week will show up again this week. The Titans rarely, and maybe around the league, the progression line is not a steady curve. So it's an encouraging game, but I think it's foolhardy to say, oh, okay, Treylon Burks gets it now and he'll go. Because just the week before, and Joe wrote about this better than I did, he was in the way and getting his hands on a ball that was intended for somebody behind him. And I don't think all of a sudden he's going to play mistake-free now, but it's an encouraging sign that he can.
Where do you think Tannehill is? And obviously this week, you know, the Bengals debacle comes up and everything, of course. But I do feel like we talked about, Paul, that, you know, where does that last performance rank when you consider – He had other tremendous performances, a lot of them, like in 2020 in particular, when he had a lot of elements around him that were a lot better than they are now. Given the circumstances, the way he performed last game, and really it's two straight games with a lot of production in the passing game. I mean, how do you assess that? Burks, an obvious element of it last game, but where do you think he is right now?
Yeah, he's playing really well right now, you know. If these other parts around him continue to do what they're doing, the arrow is definitely up. I still have trouble, you know, counting or expecting the same thing of Burks. I'm still waiting for them to throw to Chig, which they keep promising to do. He's had nine targets in four games. You know, arrow's up on Tannehill. Everything's going well. You know, as somebody told me yesterday, you know, they feel like the Titans are due to really blow somebody out. A 10-point win over Green Bay is maybe blowing somebody out in the context of the Titans. I think you could say they're due to blow somebody out. I think you could say they're due to get blown out. You know, I believe that they're not really thinking about Cincinnati the way that fans are thinking about Cincinnati, but you should have said, I mean, they robotically, to a man, said it yesterday. Vrabel beat it into their heads at the morning meeting that it's not a revenge game. And I do believe that Tannehill seeing Bengal stripes on a helmet isn't going to go into a funk. It's not about the Bengals. It's about that mid-January home playoff game. And I don't know that any of this cures that until he's in that moment. And I'm not alone in having said that, you know, since mid-January of last year. This whole season is about getting to that moment and seeing if he can fix it. And I'd still say I tend to think it's going to be a problem.
PK, Bud Dupree has been dealing with the hip all year, and yesterday, you know, talked about how it was the other side of the hip that was hurt this time. At this point, if you're John Robinson of the Titans, how concerned do you have to be about Bud Dupree, not only for the rest of this year, but his long-term future with that contract?
I haven't looked specifically at the money, but I'm sure they save a ton if they move on from Bud Dupree next year, and they've got to move on from a bunch of guys in order to recover from the cap and you know, sign hopefully David Long, Nate Davis, and maybe get some quality outsiders. But, you know, if you move on from Bud Dupree, then you have a hole at outside linebacker opposite Harold Landry, who's going to be recovering still from an ACL, though he did it early at least. They're better when he's on the field. It's unquestionable, but he's just not been on the field enough. and he's not getting any younger or any healthier, really. So they need him to get right and be part of this stretch run, or you know, really just for the playoffs. But it's disappointing that this thing has lingered and been such a problem, and they definitely have to measure that out when it comes to allotting that money beyond this year.
So the division's basically over, Paul, and it's positioning for the playoffs. I mean, I don't buy the Titans as a legit threat for the one this year. I just, with their schedule and with the fact that they lost to both the Bills and the Chiefs. But how should they approach? Should it just be full bore, win as many games as you can? Do you think about maybe being a little more judicious with some guys down the stretch, especially if you really cement the division? And who do you think would be the ideal matchup for them with that first game here in Nashville?
Well, I think you'd love to get a hold of the Jets. There was a time that the Jets were the team. I don't know if they can recover to be that team. We'll find out how much of a matchup problem Cincinnati might be this week. I mean, I think they've got to play as well as they can going into the playoffs, even though last year I think they were playing pretty well. I mean, the playoffs have proven like a hot team can just get on a run. But I don't think, you know, they're not better than Kansas City. They're not better than Buffalo. I know some people are saying, well, if they had Tannehill in Kansas City, they would have won. I just don't see it. I know the Bills aren't the same team. I just don't see it. I think they would struggle with Miami. So I think those three teams are big obstacles. And I think Cincinnati might be as well. We'll get that gauge this weekend. Right now it would be the Bills in town. I mean, right now it would be New England in town. I'd take that as a first-round matchup. But I really think that first-round matchup, you know, there are some that are better, there are some that are worse. In a lot of ways, the Titans will be playing the Titans in that game. In a lot of ways, Tannehill will be playing Tannehill in that game. And I think we'll see how good Ryan Tannehill's therapist is.
PK, last thing for you here. What your outlook for Team USA after the 1-1 draw against Wales?
Just a miserable second half. Showed Greg Berhalter's limitations in terms of adjusting. Too long to sub. Showed how young we are. Look, basically, you know, barring a miracle draw with England on Friday, we have to lose to England less badly than Wales loses to England, and we have to beat Iran better than Wales beats Iran. We will tie, barring a surprise, with Wales, and we have to beat them on goal differential. And we're not going to score a lot, so we have to hope that Wales doesn't score a lot either, which they won't.
PK, great stuff as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and thanks for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, guys. I really appreciate and enjoy this weekly thing, so I'm thankful for that.
Absolutely thankful for that.
Thanks, buddy.
As well. Paul Kuharsky, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road from paulkuharsky.com. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee coming up at 8:30 as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week. For a chance to win great prizes, you can play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly underdog picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com for joining us in the last segment. The Bengals and the Titans coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. It was interesting. What did you make of PK's assessment of the playoff matchups there for the Titans? Feels like he feels good about the Patriots. and the Jets if they sneak back in there, and pretty much everybody else, maybe not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would gladly take the Jets if they could have them.
I don't think so.
You know, that also sounds like, in terms of just the viewing experience, it's just like the Patriots game that I'm hoping doesn't happen. But yeah, we've talked about it. I mean, I think that I still think avoiding Buffalo is. I think the Titans would make a much better game with the Bills if and when they face them again. But I still think that's a priority. Not that you relish, you know, you want to play the Chiefs, you want to go right back out there. But I think there is something to that matchup. That matchup being a pretty good one for the Titans, better for the Titans than the perceived quality of the teams would suggest, and worse for the Chiefs. So, but as far as the first time, you know, anyone coming in of all the teams that could come in here, now granted, the Bills could be that team too. They're not necessarily winning their division, but other than them, I think anybody else who would come in here, I think the Titans would have a good chance to win that game. I would not say good chance with Buffalo. A chance, yes. Now, I wouldn't say good chance. Anybody else? Because the Chiefs are not one of the teams that are going to come in here. And actually, I think they'd have a pretty decent chance there too. But any of the other teams in the AFC, I'd give them at least pretty good chance to win the game and advance to the divisional round.
Joe, John Glennon put this out here yesterday on Twitter. Returning to practice for the Titans yesterday, Bud Dupree, Amani Hooker, Elijah Molden, and Caleb Shudak at kicker yesterday. Not spotted during the open portion of practice, Randy Bullock, Ben Jones, Denico Autry, and Christian Fulton. Bud Dupree also apparently put it out there that the latest hip injury was to the other side than the previous one. This, again, coming from John Glennon from SI.com. And honestly, Joe, I saw that tweet from Glennon, and I didn't really know what to make of it. Like, I don't know if you're a Titans fan, does that make you feel better? Does it make you feel worse that it wasn't the same side with Bud Dupree, and now it's the other side of the hip? I mean, his hip is a strange thing right now that continues to be an issue throughout the season, and now apparently it's on both sides where it's been an issue.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Maybe like whoever that guy is on Twitter, like the pro football doc who always weighs in on stuff, who I think for the most part seems – I mean, sometimes he gets stuff wrong because he's just guessing from afar. I'd be interested to know, like, what medically, what does that tell a doctor if someone, you know, if a pro football player who's been in the league, you know, he's not young, he's not old, but he's been in the league a few years, he's had some bangs and bruises, he's had an ACL. If you have a situation with a hip, which you keep going out on, and then you have the other side, what does that mean? It just doesn't sound good to me.
No, I mean,
in my expert medical opinion, it just doesn't seem great.
Well, and it's concerning that you have the issue with the hip all season long, and now there's an issue on the other side. Like, it just doesn't feel like this is going to go away with Bud Dupree. I mean, it's good that he's back out there at practice, I guess, yesterday. But, you know, do I have any confidence that Bud Dupree is going to be able to stay on the field for any length of time on a consistent basis? No, I don't. I don't know how you could if you watched him play this year.
Yeah. And that's really, like, to me, when you talk about the Titans – and playoff success and actually being able to do something. I'm not sitting here saying Bud Dupree or bust. Either they have him and he's really good or they do nothing. But now Autry's hurt and we don't know when he'll be back and Landry's gone. And they've been able to manufacture some excellent defensive performances and some excellent pass rushing performances without Bud Dupree. But I think that's going to be really tough to manage in January if you're getting nothing from him.
On the Christian Fulton front, Joe, not spotted at the open portion of practice, according to John Glennon yesterday. Obviously, we know he left the Green Bay game with a hamstring injury. He's been dealing with a hamstring for a little bit now. How concerned are you about Christian Fulton heading into this game against Cincinnati?
Yeah, well, it's not. I think today we'll tell the story that this could definitely be early week, just let's be as careful as possible type thing. I was a little surprised he played. I think, you know, if you go back to last week, early in the week, I was like, I could see them not playing him in this game because then you get all that extra time and you just can't keep having the hamstring come up, especially for a player so important to the Titans. I mean, think about last year. You had A.J. Brown and Julio had hamstrings at different times, and other people did too. They had the virus, the hammy virus last year. But Fulton, to the success of this defense, so critical, and especially getting matchups like this week. So I think today will tell that story. But as much as they need him in this game, again, it's like go to the same thing. Ultimately, and I agree with PK, like you want to play as well as you can. You want to build up to playing as well as you can play. But you also, like, you need to have your people ready when the games matter. And the Titans are going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have a home game. So if Christian Fulton misses this game and they get torched by Ja'Marr Chase, oh, okay. Can he come back next week against A.J. Brown? Like, I just, like, you can't. You never have certainty because those things can come back anyway. But if there's any question at all, then I think you don't play him.
Well, I think that's going to be really interesting to monitor. Elijah Molden back at practice yesterday. Hopefully the groin injury is past him as well. So lots of things to keep your eye on this week on the injury front as it relates to the Tennessee Titans. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup against Tennessee coming up on Saturday here in Nashville. Make sure you tune in for the NFL pregame this Sunday, live from Sonny's Patio and Pub Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Anders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. NFL pregame is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What's up, everybody? Michelle Knezovic here for Superbook Sports. And listen, we have got so much happening right now. We got football, basketball, hockey, and the World Cup has kicked off. So there are so many different options, so many different games you can choose from on the Superbook Sportsbook app. You want to do a little Tennessee parlay? Why don't you do the Tennessee Titans plus 1.5? You can do Tennessee in Vanderbilt. Tennessee is a 14-point favorite. Listen, I'm going to take Vanderbilt. They're on a hot streak right now, plus the 14. Tennessee on the money line, though, minus 550. Not great odds, but I do think Tennessee will come out on top of this game, even with Joe Milton starting at quarterback. And you can get a little Preds action in there as well. Do a little parlay on those three Tennessee teams. But there's no better place to wager on all of it than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager all in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world's busy, it's busy to get time winning some money. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app or visit Superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Jared Cassidy here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee. Clark, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Clark, what can you say about just your performance defensively? We'll get into the offensive side of the ball here in just a few minutes. But the defense, the way they played, the big stops, the turnovers forced the last couple of weeks, and just the complimentary football that they've been able to play. What's kind of stood out to you on the defensive side of the football the last couple of weeks?
Well, you know, we're playing more structured, and I know that sounds like coach speak, but, I mean, when you have 11 guys that are in the right positions, you know, then, you know, you can make the available play. When you don't have that structure and you're letting plays leak or you're letting the explosives happen, it just – obviously you just create a hard situation or a lot of stress on the defense. These guys have taken ownership over our systems. I think Coach Howell and his staff have done a great job of teaching and keeping them inspired and continuing to learn. And, you know, one thing that I've loved about this group is that we play hard. And that's been true since the beginning. But as we've had to play up and play against better teams, we've learned how to play together, and that's unlocked the success we've had here recently. And we need to continue that success, obviously, on that side of the ball if we're going to continue our season.
Clark, here's a question. I guess I wouldn't have expected necessarily to ask you this season, but I know this is something that coaches deal with. Are you in the mode of, like, handling success and handling people saying nice things about your team and people picking you to win a game and things like that? I mean, how much of a flip has this been you know, in the last couple of weeks for you, and while trying to, you've been trying to build confidence, and now, you know, it's all kind of manifesting itself out there.
You know, it's an interesting question, and what I'll say to you is that I think the one thing that I knew coming into this job when I accepted it was there's a real need to insulate here from external opinion, and obviously because we have to build a program that identifies and accentuates the value that we have internally. We feel like we have incredible value here in our people. Obviously, being in a top 15 university, Vanderbilt University, being in the SEC, these are things that define us internally. And so, you know, you discipline yourself to just kind of stay committed to your internal process and have patience with the build. And so I think what's happened as a result is now that we've had a couple of good weeks, I'm not going to say that it's not great to, you know, not have to answer questions about how we just fell short again. And, you know, some of those things, that's when I interact with that external world. What's been great here is that, you know, we've just kind of shifted right back into our process. We haven't spent a lot of time, you know, taking in the praise from outside because, you know, 4 weeks ago, it was about, you know, how do we stay insulated? And how do we keep our focus on the program that we're building, the identity that we're playing with, and how we're moving forward and learning through the season? So we've just taken the same approach here as we found some success, and the success hasn't changed us. You know, our habits and behaviors have changed us, and those have been in place now for a while this season, and it just took time for them to kind of you know, come to the surface in the competitive moment.
Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. So, Clark, on the offensive side of the ball, obviously another good game against Florida on Saturday. Mike Wright leading the charge offensively. A great game from Ray Davis as well. Just what do you think of where your offense is right now and the momentum that you've generated the last 2 weeks?
We're playing well enough to win. We have opportunities to strengthen performance and not turn the ball over. That's been a focus this week. You know, twice on Saturday, we turned it over where we were in position to get points. That's not going to be a formula for us moving forward. Obviously, very, very proud of Mike and his resilience through the season. You know, that there's a guy, I think, just a great example for all of us, someone who stayed committed to his teammates and his role as captain and kept swinging, kept preparing, and has gotten his opportunities here late and has capitalized on them. And, you know, I got to compliment, you know, our physical run game, too. The offensive line has done a great job. We've had a lot of different people contributing up front, and they've come together under a common identity and, you know, an attitude of toughness. And they've opened windows up, and, you know, Ray Davis and Patrick Smith have done a nice job of taking advantage of that. And when our run game gets going, we have a chance to stay on schedule. When we stay on schedule, you know, we're in third down and, you know, conversions. And at that point, once we extend drives, we can become explosive. And we think, you know, that explosive play on the perimeter through Will Shepard, Quincy Skinner, Gamarion Carter, Jaden McGowan, all those guys have contributed. You know, that's where our offense really opens up. And so that's our formula moving forward. Obviously, we want to eliminate the turnovers we don't need to give Tennessee more possessions, right? We need to make sure we're protecting the ball and scoring touchdowns when we get in the red zone.
I want to stick with Mike Wright, Clark, with a couple of questions. One, just is he starting for sure Saturday? I know AJ is coming back to practice, which is great news for him. But two, you mentioned the resilience and sticking with it and everything, which is obviously it's a terrific story and it's very impressive. Was there ever a wobble at all there when you made the switch, or was it just because to me, if there wasn't, then that's extraordinary, right? I mean, you expect human nature to at least have some outward disappointment in that moment.
Well, Mike's human, and those conversations are hard. They're not easy, and though he has always been respectful, you know, I think disappointed is absolutely how I'd define. And, you know, he bets on himself and believes in himself, and he should. And you know, it's not my job to ever take that from anybody, but I've got to make the decisions in this program that sometimes are hard, but that I feel like best position us. And so, what is impressive about Mike is not that he was unaffected by that, because as a competitor, as a human, obviously to say anything else would be untrue. What is impressive about Mike is through his disappointment, he stayed centered on the team mission, and he never, his wobbling was, you know, fighting through that personal disappointment, but it never bled into his approach to the team, his approach to the mission, his approach to his role. And that to me is what's most impressive about it. And then I think over time, as he settled into that role, he started to, you know, I think early it was, you know, he was serving in the role. I think as he grew in it, I mean, he really mastered the role as a mentor to AJ and helping out on game day and, you know, having conversations and building confidence. And, you know, there was a real, I think, a great example of someone who chose to strengthen the team. And that, to me, that's what I want the message to be coming out of this is, yeah, we can deal with disappointment and we can deal with personal frustration, but we can also make the choice to always strengthen the team. And that's what Mike Wright represents for us. As far as the start of this weekend, you know, we're gonna get AJ back to practice and we're gonna, you know, give him some time and then ultimately make the decision based off who we feel like best positions us to win. We know that AJ has skills and talents that has allowed for him to have success for us this season. Obviously, we believe in Mike Wright. We've seen what his efforts have produced for our offense and our team for the last 2 weeks. And so we want to be fair to all parties, but we also just want to be able to make the decision that we feel like is best for our program.
So, Clark, when you look at this Tennessee team, obviously it's different with no Hendon Hooker in there, but what stands out to you about the skill positions, the scheme, and the challenge of defending this offense on Saturday?
Well, we heard for Hendon Hooker, what a great competitor and what a guy that, I mean, he just, you know, what he's done is so impressive. And, you know, I think anytime you see someone like that seasoned in, as a competitor, we have a lot of respect for him and we hope the best for him. Obviously, I think Milton's plenty capable of running this offense. I think this is a system-driven offense where, you know, you have to have the arm talent to stretch the field horizontally and take the shots. He can do that. He's shown that, showed that against South Carolina. You know, the horizontal and vertical stretch sets up the vertical puncture of the run game. And so they're going to get that going too. And this is a team that averages just under 200 yards of rushing per game. And so it's a dynamic offense that we have to have systems in place defensively that give us the best shot to make them go the long, hard way. You know, if we're not allowing them to score explosive touchdowns, we're giving our defense a chance to build to the stop. That requires patience. We gotta allow them to be methodical. If we can keep them from being explosive, there are going to be opportunities for us to build to that stop or to create wins in the red zone, which is where in the last 2 weeks we've been better defensively. So if we can, you know, build to the stop by being patient or force field goals and win 4-3 per possession, that's going to be a formula for us to have success defensively. And I think from there it becomes, how interlocked are our three phases? Are we able to have game control drives offensively? Are we able to weaponize the clock in our favor, you know, in special teams? Are we able to create long fields for them and force them to go the long, hard way?
Clark, I know you have a long-term view and a big picture approach, and, you know, one result here or there is not going to, you know, change that, but, if you guys can beat this Tennessee team and get this second team to a bowl game, is that a fast forward on what you're trying to do at Vanderbilt?
You know, I think that it would be safe to say that, you know, first of all, coming into the season, when we talked internally, it was, you know, we have everything we need in this room to be successful. And so I never was putting limitations on what this team could accomplish. I think as the season unfolded, and certainly at the start, you know, you're 3-1 and you feel like you're well positioned. We had a tough one against Wake Forest that, you know, we felt like self-inflicted wounds had showed up and kept us from really having the chance to win that game. You know, then in the middle stretch, we just went through a really tough road. It was a challenging schedule. And what I want to say is that, you know, I gained so much respect for our players and our staff, the resilience, I think as head coaches, we're all kind of a little, you know, I guess we'd be labeled as maniacs in some way. So it's normal for us to step back in, to grit our teeth and to keep swinging. But to have this done with 106 players and a staff shoulder to shoulder and, you know, just committed to the vision, committed to the mission, staying in the fight, staying in the fire. We learned a lot about ourselves just from, again, staying committed, staying faithful to the process. And what that's allowed us to do here late is to find the potential of this team. And so, you know, we're absolutely identifying this week as a fight to extend our season. That's not to add emotion to it. It's to add purpose to it. You know, they've earned the right to play in a meaningful game here late, and we want to continue this season. I don't want this to be the last chance for me to be with this team. This has been something that we've created that we care a lot about. And, you know, to look big picture and say, you know, 4 weeks ago, did we see, you know, were we anticipating this moment? You know, to be honest and answer that, say, you know, no, but I knew that there was more for this team to accomplish if we just stayed committed to our process and continued to learn forward. And they've done that. And the level of commitment they've shown in staying with it has allowed us to expedite this growth here at the end of the season and again, find the potential of what this team is able to accomplish.
Well, Clark, it's been a lot of fun to watch. We really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, and great to be with you, and appreciate being with you.
Absolutely. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for The Choice is Yours. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair today. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now.
Come on.
It's The Choice is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com.
Come on.
The Choice is Yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week, time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jarrett Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. Get your free estimate now at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair this week. Joe Rex Road, I turn things over to you.
Well, I obviously did bad math previously because I didn't think that I was going to have another question-asking opportunity before Thanksgiving. But here we are.
The day before.
So, since it's Thanksgiving Eve, we're going to be hitting that theme very seriously with some open-ended questions. Sports or non-sports?
Let's go non-sports.
Okay. What movie are you most thankful for and why?
What movie am I most thankful for and why? You lead us off here, Joe. Let me brainstorm.
I figured that I would be probably leading these, yes. So, this is a very tough one, but I'm going to go with Fast Times at Ridgemont High. To me, a lot of great different kinds of movies and amazing movies of all sorts. But to me, it movies that make you laugh, I mean, they are the ones that I'm most thankful for. So, you know, This is Spinal Tap and Ferris Bueller and Days Confused and Friday and The Wedding Singer and Coming to America and Office Space and Monty Python, The Holy Grail, on and on and on. Those are all very good contenders, but I'm going to Fast Times. I think it's the most hilarious and most quoted. And also it's a movie that, like, it spawned a million, you know, terrible 80s, like, teen movies.
Yeah.
But it actually is a fantastic movie with heart and really good acting and writing and all that stuff. So I'll go with Fast Times.
There we go. Jared, do you have a movie you're most thankful for?
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, it's a solid. It's definitely in my top five. But on the spot answer, I will have to go Happy Gilmore. Bob Barker, Happy Gilmore. You just can't beat those two.
Pretty good.
Yes.
There's several options here, Joe. I'll go with Miracle. I love that movie. I've watched it for a long time. I love hockey. So those combined, two of my favorite things, America and hockey. I'll take it. Miracle.
Very nice. All right, sports. What sports experience are you most thankful for and why?
Sports experience I'm most thankful for, probably selfishly, covering the 2017 Stanley Cup Final. I enjoyed the heck out of it. It was awesome. It was long days. But just to watch the city come alive the way that it did, the thousands upon thousands of people out on the streets that weren't even in the arena, the energy around the city rallying around a team, people who I know that, as Al Michaels famously said, don't know the difference between a blue line and a clothesline, were rooting for the Predators. It was a beautiful time here in the city, and I know that the Predators came up short, but that was the most memorable part of my career thus far. So I will go 2017 Stanley Cup Final.
Jared, do you have a something that comes immediately to mind?
Yeah, the games that are currently being played in the World Cup. I think it is phenomenal.
Jared's a big World Cup guy.
Yeah, I'm a huge soccer fan, but every 4 years, every country that is available and can qualify comes together, and we figure out who the best one is. It's the top talent in all the world. I don't see how you can't enjoy this.
Nice. All right, so I had a lot of different things in coverage that I've thought about here. Including Maui, man, love to do that one more time. But I'm going to go with being a Tigers fan with my grandma. She and my grandpa took me to my first game at Tiger Stadium. Tiger Stadium, talked about a lot today. Countless nights listening to Ernie Harwell with her. And it's just that's the best sports experience for me. And she is almost 95 and still absolutely just – completely devoted to the Tigers, will not miss a pitch, which has been tough in recent years. And yet, she does not waver. So she's also the greatest sports fan I know. So there you go.
Very nice. Nicely done.
Non-sports, what musical act are you most thankful for and why?
You're going to have to go first on this one.
All right. This is a tough one. I mean, a lot of bands I love, and I talk about it all the time, and we go Beatles and Radiohead and Pink Floyd and Pearl Jam and all that stuff. But I'm going to go Led Zeppelin. I'm going to get the lead out. You know, one reason that I settled on that, driving home with my son, we were listening to a lot of it because he loves Led Zeppelin. Katie likes a lot of it. We listen to it together. It's just been going back to high school, just a constant element there. And it's hard to beat getting the lead out. Led Zeppelin.
Nice. Jared?
I will go Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, the boss.
Yeah, my dad is a huge fan of his. I've been to probably 10 or 11 concerts with him. That is something that obviously I share, much like Joe. Just being there, and man, what a generational talent. The man is 70-something years old, and he's just sliding across the stage and singing his heart out. You just got to love it.
I'll be honest, like this is somewhat difficult for me because like I just don't really get that fired up about music one way or the other unless we're talking about the Beatles and how bad they are. But –
terrible.
I will say I'll go Billy Joel. I enjoy me some Billy Joel. And one of my my life goals was to go watch him play at Madison Square Garden at some point. I've not done that, but I do enjoy me some Billy Joel. And when they come here to Nashville, I'm probably going to end up there. So Billy Joel, looking forward to that.
Wait, yeah, and is that Billy Joel and is that Stevie Nicks? Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of – I like that. Yeah.
I imagine Joe Rexroad will find his way there too.
I think I might just have to. All right, last one, sports. What sports figure are you most thankful for and why?
I think I know where you're going, but I'm interested to hear what you say.
What would be your guess for me?
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, that's right. he thrilled me more than any of my sports heroes, also 3-1 against Jordan in the playoffs. Barry Sanders was a very close second, though.
Okay, very nice. Jared, your sports figure you're most thankful for?
Tiger Woods. I have seen this man do some incredible things, even off the field, obviously situations of himself. But on the field, on the course, the man is just incredible. And to watch him do what he does at this age and after all the surgeries and heartbreak, it's just purely incredible.
I'm going Paul Kariya. When I was a younger guy, I loved watching him on the Mighty Ducks because I love the Mighty Ducks logo. So that's why I watched the Mighty Ducks in the movies. But fell in love with Paul Kariya and the way that he played. And some of the most exciting times of my youth were the 2 years that he was here in Nashville, watching a future Hall of Famer play. In many respects, maybe not directly responsible, but part of the responsibility for why the Predators are what they are today. He was the first big-time free agent that actively chose to come here. And I don't know, I've just always really loved Paul Kariya and the way that he played. So I'll go Paul Kariya. Thought about Dwayne Wade, thought about a few others, but Paul Kariya.
That's I like it on different levels there. Yes, I would have to put Steve Yzerman in my triumvirate. Although maybe Darren McCarty, friend of the show,
beating
the crap out of Claude Lemieux that one night. What a night!
No Patty Roy in there.
Well, I am thankful for him because it's hard to hate people more than I hate Patty Roy. So yeah, you know, in the sports context, you know, I don't wish ill on him, you know, in his like actual life, but I think you do have to be thankful for the villains of your sports fandom, right?
By the way,
like Jordan.
I didn't tell you this, because I forgot about it, but I had somebody come up to me on like the plaza at Bridgestone Arena a few weeks ago, and they looked at me and they're like, "Hey, for the love of God, can you tell Rex Road that it's Patrick Waugh, not Patty Roy? It's Patrick Waugh." I was like, "Yeah, we know."
Well, I think the first time I said Patty Roy, you were like, Joe.
Yeah, I didn't know what you were doing.
I was like, yeah, man, I know his freaking name, dude. Believe me. I know what he wants people to say his name, but yes. So, but I will continue to say Patty Roy, and if people think that I'm just an idiot, then that's fine. Keith says, Driving Miss Daisy touches on everything, race, religion, age, best ever. That is a very good movie.
Never seen it.
Very good movie.
Patty Roy and Marcus Mariota living together in the same household with people mispronouncing their names left and right. This has been The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:45, brought to you by Jarrett Companies. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans, look ahead at the Titans and the Bengals coming up. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.